I'd like to now proceed with Dr. Ratas Sayegh, who will be speaking on the prehistory of Palestine.
Good afternoon, everyone. First of all, I would like to thank the organizers for this meeting, for inviting us to present and present our perspective as Palestinian scholars, which is based on archaeology, evidence, not myth. Secondly, I will try to highlight the longest period of history, which extends for almost 1.5 million years ago, within less than 10-15 minutes. So please forgive me. The goals of this research are divided into four main categories. The first, tracing the early movement of a human out of Africa toward Palestine. The second, presenting the various divisions of the prehistoric periods. Three, presenting urban and urbanism and the birth of writing. Four, discussing some of the challenges Palestinian archaeologists are witnessing while conducting their scientific research, not only in prehistory, but also within the biblical periods. According to the theory of human evolution, hominins gradually evolved from ape-like ancestors about 4 million years ago. Homo habilis appeared between 2.5 to 1.8 million years ago, which is the first breed of hominins. The first appearance of hominin, known as Homo habilis, was discovered in East Africa between 2.5 and 1.8 million years. The first famous site to record these discoveries is Olduvai Gorge in Tanzania. The global climate change forced Homo erectus to move around searching for food to survive. By the emergence of a human-like body, the Homo erectus, about 1.8 to 1.5 million years ago, this human was able to walk and run better than the preceding Homo habilis, and moved out of Africa searching for food to survive. The movement was either toward the northeast, Palestine, and thereafter to the rest of the world, or towards the northwest, Morocco, and thereafter to the European continent. Homo erectus lived as hunter-gatherer societies. The strategic location of Palestine as a natural corridor between Africa and Western Asia made it possible for animals and hominins to gradually move toward the Levant and thereafter to the rest of the Old World. Most researchers agree that the first migration out of Africa occurred approximately 1.7 to 1.5 million years ago. Homo erectus migrated through waves of moving tribes, bringing with them their stone tool industry known as the Olduvai. This industry is characterized by carrying stone choppers. The main interest of prehistory Palestine began randomly after the appearance of many different lithic artifacts, particularly stone axes, by the Western visitors and pilgrims at the end of the 19th century, and by picking up various lithic artifacts from surveys in valleys and archaeological sites. However, the beginning of scientific research in this field did not begin before the 1920s. These various excavations, most of which took place in multiple caves in Palestine, showed many layers of archaeological remains that exceeded dozens of meters, which had a fundamental role in dividing the prehistory of Palestine as we know it today. The use of writing during the Bronze Age ended the prehistoric period and a new complex phase of urbanism started. I forgot to tell you that one of my colleagues apologized, he couldn't attend today. That's why I have to rewrite the entire presentation this morning and include urbanism in addition to prehistory. So I was expecting 1.4 million years ago and now I have to take the rest, of course. So I will do my best. And here are some examples. I just will give you some highlight examples. The site of Al-Ubaydiyya is located approximately 3 kilometers south of Tabira Lake. This site was excavated in the 1960s. Very primitive artifacts were uncovered, such as large hand axes and scrapers. This site dates to 1.4 million years ago and thus is the oldest archaeological site in the southern Levant. The site of Jisr Banat Yaqub is located in the southern part of the Golan Heights. It extends along the edges of ancient Lake Lisan and is considered the natural passage for human and animals throughout millennia. Evidence of using fire was documented. The site dates back to 900,000 years ago. Next, please. The first excavation in Mount Carmel Cave were conducted in the 20s and continued irregularly until the 80s. Multiple layers provided important evidence of human remains. A huge amount of human and animal bones, as well as lithic artifacts, were uncovered. Mount Carmel Caves are among the most important archaeological sites in the southern Levant. These caves have rich archaeological remains from the Lower Paleolithic until the Natufians, a time span of 500,000 years of human evolution. Some epipaleolithic sites, or the Mesolithic, as you wish to call it, is Shokba Cave, no doubt. Dorothy Garrett excavated Shokba Cave in the 20s. She revealed evidence of an unknown culture dating back to the late Stone Age, which preceded the agricultural era. This culture was named after the valley as the Natufian culture. This culture emerged as a semi-sedentary society and succeeded in domesticating the dogs, which is the first known evidence of domesticating animals. Neolithic sites. I chose Jericho, of course. The first permanent settlement was developed near Ain Sultan Spring in Jericho around 8500 BC. This culture relied on agriculture and domesticating animals. The famous Jericho Tower and Jericho Wall belong to this period. Jericho is also known as the first fortified settlement in the world. I will move toward the Chalcolithic period, and we have Tulaylat al-Rasul site, which is one of the largest Chalcolithic sites in the southern Levant. This site, among many others, have revealed major cultural changes in the archaeological record. New craft production, settlement patterns, simple expressions, art, pyrotechnology, mortuary, and ritual practices became prominent. This site has also provided a new understanding of the Chalcolithic cult and religious practices. The Bronze Age in the Levant is known as the birth of urbanism, the appearance of city-state societies, and the adoption of writing. By adopting writing as a form of communication, the historical periods began. The Iron Age, I have chosen some of these sites, and Palestine became home to many ethnic groups called the Israelites, among others, and the Philistines. The Israelites settled the central highland in what is known today as the West Bank, whereas the Philistines, or the Sea People, settled along the southern coast of Palestine. They introduced iron, weapon, chariots, and new ways of producing wine. If we move toward the Hellenistic period, we have Sebastia and Jerusalem as an example. The Hellenistic period in Palestine started when Alexander the Great conquered Palestine in 333 BC and subsumed it into his Macedonian empire. If we move toward the Roman, excuse me, I just have to go through everything to come to my conclusion. The Roman conquered Palestine for almost four centuries, and of course, everyone knows the architecture and the design and the status of the Roman Empire everywhere. So we have also that in Palestine. The Byzantine and the birth of Christianity. Emperor Constantine the Great converted to Christianity in the 4th century, and thereafter more than half of the empire's population have converted to the new religion. And I have taken example from Jerusalem, from Bethlehem, and made a map in Jordan, which is the oldest known map, shows the entire area of Jerusalem, Dead Sea, as well as Jordan River, with the fish turn around and go upwards. It's the oldest map that we know about. Challenges. Here we go. This is my conclusion. I will try to sum up as fast as I can. To summarize my presentation, I will highlight some challenges scholars are witnessing while conducting scientific research in prehistory. Terminology in prehistory in Palestine, particularly the Paleolithic period, consists of features derived from Europe, not from the Levant. Is this behavior the right way to understand the past? We can debate this issue. Second, most English-speaking archaeologists have concentrated their research in the southern Levant, I mean Palestine and Jordan, whereas French-speaking archaeologists have conducted their research in the northern Levant, Syria, and Lebanon. Communication and exchange of terminologies between these two major schools have been limited. Thus, in turn, has created a gap in understanding the archaeological record of the event as a whole. Israeli scholars have renamed the well-known archaeological sites by using Jewish names. They have also used new Jewish names for the newly discovered ones without considering the original names of the areas, which have been known for centuries. This issue has worsened the gap between the archaeological data and the native people of Palestine. Palestinian scholars publish most of their research in foreign languages and a handful in Arabic. Palestinian students have the right to find literature in their mother tongue, and we owe them this. Our understanding of the Paleolithic period is limited mainly to studying the lithic artifacts. We know the prehistoric people used organic materials such as bones, skin, and wood, but unfortunately we do not find many of these tools due to their decomposition over time. Therefore, our knowledge about these periods is limited and depends mainly on lithics. And to make it even more complicated, our knowledge is based on a few excavated sites and service collection which do not represent reality. When it comes to the biblical research, archaeological investigations in Palestine began as early as the 19th century, as Western scholars sought to confirm the historicity of the Bible and later on to establish connections for the Jews to the land. The British were most prominent in this regard, of course. The Palestinian Exploration Fund was established in 1865, specifically for the study of Palestinian history and archaeology. The goal of this exploration was to collect as much information as possible about the composition of the Bible and uncover the Judeo-Christian roots of the Holy Land through archaeology. These activities coincided with the growing interest of American and other European missions to Palestine, and as a result, foreign activities in the field of archaeology were initiated. The Americans established the American Palestine Exploration Society in the 1870, which was then renamed the American School of Oriental Research, ASOR, in 900. France founded the French School of Biblical Studies in 1882. The Germans established the German Society of Oriental Research in 1898. The British again expanded their institutional presence in Palestine by establishing the British School of Archaeology in Jerusalem in 1912. These institutions have supported, sponsored, and conducted most of the archaeological record carried out in Palestine over the years. Their research and publications aim to strengthen the role of the biblical perspective in the rewriting of the history of Palestine without taking into consideration the cultural heritage of those who still live in the Holy Land. And my conclusion, I would like to emphasize the following. Palestinian archaeologists are conducting their research based on evidence, not myth. The Bible is the holy book, not a tourist guide. We cannot conduct archaeological research to confirm the historicity of the Bible. Palestinian archaeologists should publish more in Arabic for the coming generations and make data accessible in the mother tongue. Palestinian archaeologists should conduct new archaeological investigations using modern technology, which gives a broader understanding of the uncovered data. Joint projects between national and international institutions enrich the results and form a common understanding of the terminologies, regardless of which school scholars belong to, English, French, or whatever. Thank you.